Goat yoga. What's your opinion?
I'm all for it. I don't do yoga. I feel like I like to do it. I'm not flexible. And what a better way to get flexible than with a goat? They're cute. You know, they're fun. It's just, I just think it would kind of ease, you know, kind of break the ice and ease the tension for me. And I'd be really flexible after I do that.
Respectfully disagree. I mean, goat yoga is like pineapple pizza. Right? I mean, like, yoga is this perfect form of exercise, and you've got this, like, thing that shouldn't be touched. You know, it's like adding pineapple to the pizza. It doesn't belong on the pizza.
Hey, welcome to Time Out with Patty C. This is a new podcast where we talk about things that went through your mind when you were stuck in time out.
You're ready for Time Out with Patty C. This is episode 48. We missed the Christmas episode just because we were too busy sending presents to everyone. Today's episode, the new year. Hey, we're listening to a little Matt Bolton. Let's go around the table, starting with Mikey D. Let's say hello to the crowd.
Hey, happy new year, everybody.
TD.
Greetings, everyone, in 2024.
Papa Gigs.
Hello, hello.
And Big Mike.
Hi, everyone.
All right. So we have a new section. It's called What's Your Opinion? Oh, hold on. I got to work on the soundboard. Yeah, this is the reason why I'm out with Matty C. Doesn't have a lot of listeners. All right, I'll say it again. And I'm not editing this out. It's ready for the new section of our special of Time Out with Patty C. It's called, What's Your Opinion? How was that? Was that
good? I like it.
It's good.
Nice.
All right. We're going around the table. I ask you, what's your opinion? And you give us a 5 to 30 second opinion. We're going to start with Papa Gigs. Goat yoga. What's your opinion?
I'm all for it. I don't do yoga. I feel like I like to do it. I'm not flexible. And what a better way to get flexible than with a goat? They're cute. You know, they're fun. It's just, I just think it would kind of ease, you know, kind of break the ice and ease the tension for me. And I'd be really flexible after I do that.
Okay. I'm going to, Big Mike, you shook your head. Why?
Respectfully disagree. I mean, goat yoga is like pineapple pizza, right? I mean, like, yoga is this perfect form of exercise, and you've got this, like, thing that shouldn't be touched, and then you add pineapple to it, or no, you add goats to it. You know, it's like adding pineapple to the pizza. It doesn't belong on the pizza, so it's like, it can work, but...
Yes, see, as a newbie, I think it would be, it just kind of break the tension. It would help me relax and just treat it in a more fun way.
All right.
I'm with you on the pineapple pizza, though.
I didn't mean to come out hot, guys. No, I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay. You know,
That's good.
I didn't mean to be aggressive on that.
We're going right to you, Big Mike.
Great.
Self-checkout. What's your opinion?
Oh, self-checkout. I use it if I've got a few things, but I kind of prefer the interaction and the care with which my things are kind of carouseled through. You're not into it? You don't like it?
I disagree. But I'd rather check out my own groceries. I'm better than that kid who's on his phone and ignoring me anyway.
But
I'm faster. I know what I'm doing. I know all the produce codes. I don't need that kid.
There always seems to be an issue for me when I'm doing it and like the light goes on and I've got to wait and like the girl who doesn't want to be there kind of like shuffles over and she's like, here, she uses her card. She punches her code in and I'm like, I could have had... You know, Jennifer on lane 7.
Just throw it in your bag and go.
Knocking this out.
4-0-1-1.
Bananas.
Oh.
I gave him an easy one, but I like it. Okay.
TD, since you're in the field, AI, what's your opinion?
I am a huge fan of AI. I know teachers are supposed to be terrified of this because, you know, it's going to take our jobs and kids are cheating, but... AI is a real useful tool. You can save a lot of time planning things, building things, writing songs, If you've got no songwriting talent, know that from firsthand experience. It's really, really good for menial tasks like writing college recommendation letters. Don't ask me how I know that, students at Schuylkill Valley High School. But I think it's a really useful tool, and I don't think we should fear it. When the robots become self-aware and rise up and take over, I might change that opinion. But for now, I'm all in favor of it.
The first round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. At least I didn't get whipped. Just
like that. Mikey D, you're next. Self-driving cars. What's your opinion?
I'm all for them. I would like to be able to take a nap while I'm going someplace.
Sure.
And usually I'm the one driving. So if I'm not driving, maybe I could take a nap.
Let's add to that self-driving trucks on the road.
I'm all for that too. What the hell? You're going to have those people that say, hey, you just took that self-checkout job from that person, and now you're going to take the truck driver's job.
Sure.
So, you know, there's some issues there.
That's what they say. That's crazy, insane laugh. They're like, you took my job.
That's right.
All righty. We have some individuals that are here today. YOLO, and then DJ's not here. And let's give a shout-out to Face.
Face
isn't here.
Face.
I saved a special question for Face, and it was Valentine's Day. What's your opinion? Oh, that's a nice pause, and it's okay because we're going to move to the next section.
Overrated.
Yeah, agree.
That's the magic sound.
It sounds like we're transitioning.
Beep, yes, boop, boop. We are transitioning. Yeah, everyone loved my noises, but now I have a soundboard. So, second section of the new Time Out with Patty C, how to help people. It's a new special edition in Patty C. I'm going to go first. The question is, how to help people make friends? Simple. I wrote three words. Throw a party. Right?
Yeah.
Backyard party, a lot of beer, your friends come, some don't like to talk to people. It's a big enough wide space. They can play cornhole by themselves or with two other people all night long, or they can have a couple drinks, some snacks, and meet some people. Mikey D, how do you help people make friends?
Take them to goat yoga. It's a very warm, inviting environment, and you can have some pineapple pizza afterwards. Everybody will get along just fine.
Didn't think that was coming. TD, how do you help people make friends?
I send them to ChatGPT and tell them to ask for great conversation starters. And then they have, because some people struggle with that early contact. They don't know how to talk to people. So,
sure.
AI is your friend, people. Use it. It can make even some of you social.
Papa Giggs, how do you help people make friends?
Mine's kind of like yours, Pat. I just think introduce them to like-minded people. So you're going to the brewery with a bunch of people. Hey, bring your friend along that you think might meet some of the people. You're there with them. You're kind of a safety net for your friend, but they're still mixing meeting with people. Take them out to dinner to your favorite Palestinian restaurant or whatever, and have them meet some people there. But introduce them to like-minded people that you're when you're there, and then they always have a safety net, and just they can expand slowly and see who they kind of connect with.
Like it. Big Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think like you guys said, you take them to non-threatening environments. I really like trivia. I've introduced several groups of friends through trivia because you don't have to focus on each other. You can kind of talk about the different questions, and it leads to your interests.
I like that.
Like raises stories, and in between breaks, then you can kind of chat and unpack it all. So I like trivia in that way.
And I like the trivia too because, like, let's say they come up with the answer, they feel good.
Yeah, they get credit for it. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
That's good. All right, there we go. We're done with helping people. Next.
Is that the public service? Again.
No, that's not a lifelong thing. No.
The public service portion
totally
of our
done. Selfish podcast from here on out.
Every episode, we'll do something to help somebody, okay? All right, next first question. Oh, I love this song. We are Santa's elves. The question is, what job would you have if you worked in Santa's workshop? Big Mike?
I don't know. I think
the song is going to keep playing in the background. Yeah, no, help you out. Okay, sorry.
I don't know. I've been married for 23 years, and my father-in-law continually tells me what a disappointment I am. and loves is extremely handy. And so I think that's where I let him down, because I don't know how to fix anything.
Sure.
And so I'm getting to the answer. I'm not just unpacking some weird shit with my father-in-law. But so he'll come over to fix things that are out of my technical ability.
Sure.
And my job is to hold the flashlight. Mm. And so in Santa's elf shop, I'd be holding the flashlight. That'd be my job for like whatever needs to be. I'd just be there holding
right
the
there.
Flashlight. That's my sure. role.
That's yeah. 8 hours. That's a
number
long
one
day.
Flashlight holder.
Okay.
And let it shine, good. Man. Let it shine.
Let it shine. Yeah.
I'm going to make you a t-shirt with Herbie the dentist with a flashlight. It says, let it shine.
That's what he does. He tells me, he, it's a whole thing.
Papa Gates.
Next episode.
What job would you have if you worked at Santa's workshop?
I'm kind of like Mike without the father-in-law issues, but I'm not too creative. I'm not too handy. So I think I'm like the guy who's bringing everything to the elves, taking it when they're done, wrapping it when they're done, making it. I'm just kind of like the gopher, just kind of running here, running there, like facilitating, that. just kind of like helping out. You're hustling around, but I'm not making anything. I'm not wrapping presents. I'm not doing anything too artistic or, hands-on.
You know what I like about the gopher job sometimes? When they're like, where you been? Well, you got to pick this up. It's like, oh, I had some problems over here. Dropping it off. And you were just like taking a break coffee break.
It's like zero accountability.
Yeah, zero accountability. TD, what's your job in the workshop?
I am artificial positive energy elf. So I just go around, hey, buddy, great job. Love what you're doing there. That's fantastic. What a great job. You're awesome. Keep it up. And actually really don't do anything except just walk around and talk, which is kind of my jam. Yeah, it's kind of what
day
I
job,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do all day long. Hey, awesome.
That is a Netflix show, right? Yeah. I think so. Big Mike? Mikey D, I mean? Mikey D?
I don't know either. That's a tough one, you know? It's like every kid's dream to work in Santa's workshop. I think I'd want to do something with the sleigh. I want to be like the test driver with the sleigh, or do the dry run, or maybe change the rails on the sleigh.
Well, how about this? Like,
you know,
could you be in the shop and do the crash test with the sleigh?
Yeah, I'll be the crash test dummy for the sleigh.
That's awesome. Because that's a niche job, and you only have to work a little of the year.
You might only do it once.
Excellent. Second question. I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to answer it first. So what is one thing you're going to try and do in the new year? I am going first. I am going to edit this podcast tomorrow and get it out. Every time we podcast, it's going out in minimum of 3 days.
All right. You said it.
Or
but no one will know unless you put it out.
If it doesn't.
You could just edit this out.
I could. That's
true. In 2 weeks.
Big Mike, what do you got?
What is one thing I'm going to try and do? I will say I tried to quantify my New Year's resolution this year, and so I failed dry January, but I am becoming more active. So I have a treadmill now, and even in the coldest, ugliest weather situations, I'm getting 15,000 steps a day, whether it's,
nice.
whether it's running or walking. Listening to podcasts like this one, getting it done. So,
excellent. We should have you podcasting from the treadmill. That was
just remotely. Sure. Well, the problem is the treadmill is so loud that I have to put the earbuds in and turn them all the way up.
Mm.
It's a whole thing.
So you'll be very fit, but you won't be able to hear anymore.
Exactly, I'll be deaf, ripped guy.
Ooh. Yes. So when you get a hit, Red, that's you.
It's true.
Papa Gigs, what do you got?
Now, these weren't like resolutions, right?
No.
These could be fun things.
Yeah, it's fun things.
Yeah, I'm planning on skiing more. This is my ski year.
Nice.
You know, I was not always flexible during the winter, and my goal is to ski more and to ski in more locations. So
that's good.
Have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, the crowd loves that. TD, what do you got?
Kind of like Big Mike. I said I'm going to be more active, so I'm, you know, doing my own movement challenge, which basically just means I do something active every single day. And so I've been rowing in my basement a lot in these beautiful locations that are in my basement. And but, you know, it's, you know, I feel better. So I'm liking that. And another thing I want to do is ride my bike, my mountain bike, a lot more. I have a really awesome mountain bike, and I rode it almost not at all last year. So I want to get back into doing it. I love it. I don't know why I didn't do it, but I want to stop being lame and ride my bike.
Nice.
Another three. Mikey D, what do you got?
I don't really have any resolutions for the year because, you know, my life's pretty damn good. To be quite honest, you know, pretty privileged in the realm of the world. But probably more sleep. I want to focus on getting more sleep if I want to be serious about it. That's all.
I like that. Very good.
Bunch of healthy lads, aren't we?
It's crazy.
Well, I also want to drink a lot more starting February 1st.
A lot more seltzer or a lot more?
No. Alcohol. Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Bourbon.
I can help you with that.
Starting in February.
February 1st.
I'm going to help you on February 2nd.
I liked your timing.
Every time you pour in the glass, you will hear that. That's a game winner. All right, next question. Next question. What is the weirdest conspiracy theory you have ever believed? Mikey D, what is yours?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to go Sasquatch. I'm going Bigfoot. Mm. I think he's out there. I think there's several of them out there. Whoa. Why not? You know, there's got to be several. Can't be just one, right?
Right. Do the Sasquatches do golf claps, or they just like grunt and moan?
Yeah, I think they might do some golf claps. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
TD, what do you got?
Well, I wish I had something more whimsical. For a long time, I believed the mafia killed JFK. And I was like, I went, you know, for a couple of years, I went down this conspiracy rabbit hole on the JFK assassination. And now I've pretty much, you know, come back to, you know, more traditional, conventional, that's what the government wants me to think kind of thinking. But anyway, for several years, I went hard, deep into that weird world.
So. The grassy knoll, everything.
Exactly, yep. And I thought it was the mafia, and I had all these theories for why that was true, and I'm embarrassed. But you asked, and I'm trying to be honest here, so.
I like that. You get a golf clap. Public Gigs?
Not a big conspiracy guy, but I love Bigfoot. You know, I have the bike jersey. He's yeah. a cool dude. I like Bigfoot a lot, and I want to believe. I don't believe.
Yeah.
And actually, JFK is one that I don't know what I believe, but I just think there's a lot more to it than, or there's more to it than, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm not sure what it is, but there's more to it.
Oh, I like it. Big Mike, what's yours?
I don't have anything earth-shattering or groundbreaking, but I think Area 51 is probably something Whoa. That really exists. A lot of people think we're doing research on aliens, and there is a mysterious shroud that covers like the entire area, and you know the people flying in and out of McCarran Airport each day on an unmarked jet in and out of the place. It kind of points to some weird stuff going on. So sure. I think maybe it's more than just a little conspiracy.
I agree. You do not get a golf clap. You get this.
I get an alien zap.
Papa Gates?
Can I recommend a fun movie? It did not get an Oscar nomination today, but Asteroid City. Did you see the movie Asteroid City? It's a Wes Anderson movie.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I
fun,
love Wes
yeah,
Anderson.
Yeah, and Asteroid City was his new one this year. Yeah. It's fun. It's Area 51-ish.
Nice.
All right.
All right, there you go. Conspiracy theories. And now to something completely different. What is something everyone looks stupid doing? I'll go first. Getting in or out of a hammock. Because they try to get in and then maybe it's not so perfect. The hammock, I think, needs to be completely taut. And the hammocks I'm talking about are not these backcountry hammocks at all. Todd, TD, you know. It's the old-fashioned hammock that is like a big...
With the big wooden...
With the sail.
Yeah.
Try to get in that. And if you YouTube, like, bears trying to get into hammocks, it's quite hilarious. Big Mike, what is something that people look extremely stupid doing?
This is going to be a little controversial. And I don't want to pick on Lee while he's not here. It's not about Lee, but he's a pretty big participant in this. And so was I. But I think pickleball is ridiculous. It's called pickleball, and I've been turned off from the sport because it's like this ridiculous game of just like paddleball and with weird words like kitchen. But people take it so seriously. And so... Like to have an elderly person give you the smackdown on a net, you know, and then kind of like raise their fist and say, "Yeah!" Like there's a lot of like emotion and like feeling in the game when it should just be fun.
Yeah.
Can't
we all just get along?
And I just, it's like a weird environment. And I just think I look around the courts and people are like really into it. Sure. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's like, it's the roller.
So when you make a mistake, like I always do, because I'm a crappy pickleball,
same.
You,
so
you hear that noise on the court.
Yes.
People
and,
laughing.
And then you can hear, you can feel your teammate going, ugh. And then you tap paddles. It's a whole thing. Papa, but if anyone wants to play this weekend, I'll go.
Papa Giggs, what do you have?
The Macarena.
Ooh.
I never did it. Maybe it's because I don't know how to do it, but I don't want to learn how to do it. I don't know. That's to me, it's just a. It's
that's
a,
to your credit.
Yeah, it's a weird looking thing, and you know they're having fun, but I don't think they look good doing it.
No,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
TD, what do you got?
I'm gonna go with hopscotch, only because you know I used to think I was a very graceful hopscotch player when I was in elementary school, and when you think about it, it looks like you're spasming and. Possibly, you know, getting shot with Nerf guns all at the same time. So even if you tend to be very graceful and athletic, hopscotch, I think, brings out the worst in all of us.
Is there a way to play hopscotch? Like you drop something and then you try to pick it up? Is that it? Is that like the pinnacle of hopscotch?
Yeah. You start in the first square, and then whatever square the thing is in, you've got to skip over, and then the second round, you've got to skip multiple boxes, and you end up taking these running, flying leaps and jumping. And
all right.
Yeah, it was big when I was in elementary school in California. We used to play a lot, and we thought we were going to go pro. But here I am.
Now, can I?
Well, the league folded, didn't it?
Can I ask this question? If you had
the advertising,
if you had this magic, would that help? Like if you were like a witch or a warlock. Does that help?
Of course, magic always helps. Yes, that would be fantastic.
Excellent.
I would love to be a warlock hopscotcher.
Mikey D, what do you got?
I don't have anything any better than anybody said, and it's not something that everybody looks stupid doing, but I sure look stupid trying to hula hoop.
Oh, the
now,
hula hoop.
Some people make hula hooping look like sexy and cool and natural. Not me.
Yeah, same.
Can't do that.
I'm in that camp.
I struggle. I am not a hooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was at Secrets, that bar in Ocean City, and this older lady won the hula hoop contest. And I went up to her, and I was talking to her, and I was complimenting her, and she was being weird with me. She thought I was hitting on her. Krisha was right there, and it was just a very – I still remember the conversation.
Really?
I was impressed because she was so good, And she – yeah, she wouldn't let me. Yeah, she wouldn't let me compliment her.
Whoa.
So now I'm in your camp too.
Like it. Yeah. Next question. If you could choose an animal as a battle companion, what would it be? Now, hold on one second. This is not the animal I would choose.
Jesus Christ. Is that a duck?
That's a duck. I'm going to go first. I would choose a badger. even though they're small, you could let them out of your backpack and just say, attack. And if you had a couple, like three, two would attack and the other would come behind the guy and, like, I don't mean to be gross, but they would just, like, chew out, like, the Achilles. And then the person would fall down and then they would just chew out everything out. Big Mike, do you have an animal that would be your companion?
Going into battle, I don't know. Who wrote The Jungle Book? Was it Rudyard Kipling?
Yeah, Kipling.
And I don't know. It was like an early influence when I was young. My brain receptors might have been open. But who? What's the name of the Black Panther? Is it Bagheera? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I think there's a Black Panther involved.
Yeah, there is.
In that book. And I've always just thought that was like the baddest looking.
No, Papa Giggs.
Not that bad.
Please.
Not the political.
Not the political.
Not Huey Newton.
No, like an actual four-legged cat. Okay. And yes.
Sounds like that.
Maybe that's what led me to Penn State. I'm not sure. But or maybe I should say Nittany Lion.
Bagheera.
Is it Bagheera? And so I've always thought of them as like the pinnacle of coolness and toughness. I don't know what it was. And I can't even remember if Bagheera was a good guy or a bad guy, but
kind of like a ninja.
Yeah, like there's a ninja-ness to him. Yeah. That'd be my battle companion.
Yeah. Love it. I'm going to go in between and tell a quick joke here.
Okay.
Do you know what kind of shoes a ninja wears?
They're called tabby boots. I used to want to be a ninja, so you're asking the wrong guy.
I know. No, they're called sneakers. Sorry. Now we're going to preface. It's a joke. We have another question coming up.
That was a dickhead move to try and answer the question with a real answer.
It's okay. You're trying to live your dream. It's okay.
Have we unpacked that in earlier podcasts when I wanted to be a ninja?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we heard that. Yeah.
Oh, it's a real thing. Yeah. No.
Papa Giggs, what's your question? What's your answer?
I'm going with the Cape Buffalo from Africa. You ever see those guys?
Nice. They got the crazy horns.
Yeah, the horns. They're nasty. So they're going to fight. They say when they get injured, they keep on fighting. They remember you. They're responsible for 200 human deaths a year. And I think that's probably just like accidental stuff. So if he's my partner, not that I want to kill anyone, but if this is serious stuff, I want a Cape Buffalo by my side.
Yeah, if you're going into battle, that's all fair.
Yep.
TD,
I
want to
get a good one.
I'm also going to go with an animal in Africa. It's responsible for more deaths than any other animal in Africa, and that is...
It's a bird?
No, not that bird. It's a really big bird called a hippopotamus. And hippos kill more people in Africa than any other animal every year. So, they're big and, they could look scary, but they look kind of dopey and friendly. And but they get really aggressive and they'll flip boats in the in the rivers and they trample people. And they can be very aggressive. And I do believe in whatever ghost is over there throwing things off.
It's a cork top of kombucha that my beautiful wife made.
I think it's ready.
It just popped.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I like that. Papa Giggs is back with his name.
My Cape Buffalo, his name is Abrafo. It's a name from Ghana that means warrior. And I just think Abrafo.
Nice.
Wow, Abrafo, go! And Abrafo is going to take care of business.
Sure. Next question. What would be the rudest animal if they could talk? I'm going first. It's the llama. The llama spits at you. And it would be like, it would spit and say, what are you doing here? Get out of here. It would be the rudest animal. Mikey D, what do you got?
I'm going with the gnat. It just would always be in your freaking ear.
Oh, sure.
Never letting you go. Just keeping talking and talking and nagging.
And it would have a voice like Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. TD, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the lemur. I just think they'd be, really annoying and skittish and just kind of, hey, what are you looking at? Stop, get, Mind your own business.
Papa Giggs, what do you got?
I'm going bird nerd on you guys. I'm going to go with the European starling. So it's a bird. They flock together, and they're just a pain in the butt. They're always together. They're just wiping out food supplies. Yeah, so collectively, European starlings, just rude behavior.
They were inappropriately introduced to the United States, right?
Yeah, to eat insects. They just, you know, invasive species, and
Central
hurting.
Park, I think, actually.
It was. Is it? Yep. Yeah. 20 of them in Central Park. Yeah. They should all die.
Yep, no, I agree.
Yeah.
My lemurs are going to take care of it.
There you go. And a bravo, too.
And a bravo, too. Well, Big Mike, what do you got?
We have this cat at home. His name is Linus, and he's basically an outdoor cat. He's like a reverse outdoor cat. He comes in during the day to sleep, and then he just barks at us to let him out at all times. And then we let him out. He just waits by the door to be let in, only to be let out. And he has a lot to say on the way in and out. Sometimes it's like a big F you. Sometimes it's just like a little burp. But he's always talking, and he's a prick. And I mean, he'll snuggle and he'll purr, but like mostly he's a prick. So my cat, Linus, rudest animal ever.
Does your cat sound like this?
No, he sounds more like the other the other cat that we were
experimenting. The Lions?
It sounds like that. That is very good. Next question. Which Disney princess would make the best spy? TD, what do you got?
So I'm going to go old school as well, just because I can name her, and it is Snow White. And I'm going to say just because she can, you know, act like she's asleep and just, kind of sleeper sell her way into situations, and then she wakes up and she's got the dwarves kind of doing the, you know, work that, you know, nobody should see behind the scenes.
Sure.
And that's hacking all the network, all I know about Princess. Right there, that's it.
All right. I like it. Papa Giggs?
Same pretty low princess IQ, but I'm going with Pocahontas. I think she has a really good skill set.
Yeah.
In a different kind of way. She's not going to be like the indoor, but she's going to be doing, you know, the outdoor kind of spying, the more the mission type stuff. And she, her skill set that she can bring, she's going to be able to take care of a lot of stuff, get herself out of some situations, and almost like Navy SEAL kind of spy. You know, we can insert her and she'll get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Like it. Big Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, I have very low princess IQ also, in addition to just a low IQ. But I'm going to go Little Mermaid. I mean, she's a princess, and she's, you know, stealthing her way around the ocean. And I figure swimming is quiet, and so there you go.
There's a lot of magic in
there's a lot of magic involved there, and she's
a lot of naval missions.
A lot of naval missions. She's mostly SEAL, the sea. Sure. She's like the sea part of the sea.
She's part of the sea.
Until she's not. Then she's other stuff.
I like it. All right, we go to question 8. What is the funniest joke you ever knew? And I'm going to go first. And this is in honor of Face, because Face is not here. He has a little Jewish in him. How does a rabbi make his coffee? Does anybody know this joke? He brews it.
Oh, that's the funniest joke you know?
The funniest one he can tell on the podcast.
Hold on, He's
loving it. He's loving it.
There we go. He brews it.
That was better. I liked it better that time.
That was better. It was funny. Yeah. Big Mike, what's your joke?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of jokes. I do have a little fun factoid for you. And that is, you know, in class, in science class, we've been talking a lot about habitats and migration. And more recently, we've seen the geese flying, you know, from north to south, south to north. They fly in Vs. And that V has one side that's longer than the other. Do you know why that is?
No.
Because there are more geese on that side.
Ho!
You can use that tomorrow.
That was good. I like that. Bing, bong, bing. Papa Giggs, what do you got?
I'm not really a joke guy. You know, you know me. I like boxing, right? So I want to tell you a joke about boxing, but then sure. I forgot the punchline.
That was good. I like that. TD, what do you got?
E flat and G walk into a bar, and the bartender yells, "No minors!"
I'm telling you.
And my signature chord playing the guitar is effed up G. So
that was two jokes. That was good.
The second point. Part was a true story.
Mikey D, what do you got?
All right, it's a little long. All right. Not okay. Super long, but a little long. So these two poets die, ironically, at the same time, and they go to heaven. They're at the pearly gates, and they meet St. Peter, and he says, "Oh, he's looking at their resumes. Oh, poets, huh? All right, well, impress me. In order to get into heaven, you have to make up a poem about Timbuktu." So this one guy, they're both kind of thinking and trying to figure it out, and one guy says, "Okay, I got it. I stroll along the rocky shore. I hear the mighty ocean roar. I see a ship out on the blue, destination Timbuktu." St. Peter says, "Hey, that's pretty good. Come on in." The other poet's kind of like sweating it out a little bit. He says, "Okay, I got one." He says, "Tim and I a strolling went. We saw three ladies in a tent. They being three and we but two. I bucked one in Timbuktu."
The crowd here in the studio just loved that one. The
crowd went wild.
I want to hear what St. Peter said to that one.
I think he got in. I think he got in. I like to think he got in, anyway.
All right, St. Peter has a sense of humor.
There you have it. Now, those are our regular questions, and now we're going to the music questions. What is your favorite song you ever heard perform live, and why? We're going to go with Mikey D.
That's a tough question, because so much of it's like in the moment and what you're feeling at the time. And I'm probably going to go with just a small band I saw in Key West play Whippin' Post. And it was just because I was like right next to the band, and it was a small venue, and they just rocked it out.
Nice. So
it just hit me. It stuck with me.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Yeah. Yeah, small places, where you are, boom, boom, boom. TD, what do you got?
I have two. And so one is a local musician that you're not going to find at this. But saw a guy I really like in Philadelphia, from Philadelphia, Don McCloskey. And he was playing at the Grape Street Pub in Manayunk. There were maybe 60 of us in the place. And he just started goofing around and started playing Bohemian Rhapsody. And then everybody just started, in the audience, just started picking up parts of the song. And he ended up doing the whole song with all of us participating. And it was all impromptu. It was just a ton of fun. And then a few years ago, we were at Red Rocks to see the Avett Brothers. And Elephant Revival opened, who we also really like. Nice. And they did a version of White Rabbit that was absolutely freaking amazing. Look it up on YouTube. It's a really cool version.
Yeah.
So that was awesome to see that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great, great. Papa Giggs, what do you got?
Tough one, yeah. Like Mike said, there's just so many concerts, so many memories. But I'm probably going to go with the first time I saw U2. It was right before they started playing really big places. They played the Tower Theater when they came over, right after the Unforgettable Fire came out. And Bono was losing his voice during the concert, and they sang Pride in the Name of Love. And he had a hard time getting up real high to sing the chorus. And it was just like he called on the audience to sing it for him. And the audience, they were singing, you know, every song all night. But just something about the audience kind of subbing in for Bono during Pride in the Name of Love. We had friends that snuck us into the second or third row. I think we were the second row. They brought their tickets back right before the U2 started. Sure. Because we didn't sit the whole time. Yeah. So we were all jammed in the second row, and you know, seeing Bono right there and singing Pride in the Name of Love with U2 was just a real cool moment.
Awesome. Awesome. Big Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, this is a tough question.
It's totally crazy. Now, listen, we're not 22. We've seen tons of shows listening to great music.
Yeah. But the one that came to mind first was when I was 18, I was working at the Outback Steakhouse with a bunch of people who were like career waiters and waitresses. It was like this amazing place to work. They were like a lot of fun. And sure. The manager took care of everyone. And so they would go on these outings. And I was like this young kid. And they brought me along. We went to Madison Square Garden to go see Dave Matthews.
Whoa.
And I'd already seen him like once, I think, or twice. And it was like we were in New York City. And I'm like this little kid from Macungie. I hadn't like really been to New York City before. So I was walking around like the streets with this like bottle of beer and a paper bag. And like I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing, you know? And so we finally get there and I've got the worst seat in all of Madison Square Garden. And it's like obstructed. And I'm like, Jesus. So I decided to go off. I'm all buzzed from my like Coors Light 40 that I was drinking, you know? And, I decided to walk, and it was like back in the 90s, so there was less security. I walked back behind the stage, not like dangerously close, but
sure.
In the section behind it. And so I just watched the whole concert from like behind the stage, basically. For the encore, Dave Matthews came out and played an acoustic version of Angel from Montgomery.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? Well, this isn't one of his songs. Like, who is this? Like, what is this magic? And that was my introduction to John Prine. And I was like, oh, I got to explore this a little bit more. And it was before YouTube, and I could like
sure.
Google it. But it led to a deep love of John Prine.
So awesome.
It was, cool. It was one of my favorite,
that's
favorite
great.
Performances.
Yeah.
That had a good ending because at first I thought I was going to see a band in the Outback Steakhouse, like it's Santa the corner. No. So
who played the Outback? Yeah.
No, they so were
that
a bunch
had a good
of
ending.
1992.
They had a bunch of partiers working there. That was a good time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Are they still hiring?
They are. Yeah,
I might be looking for a little side gig.
Yeah.
So you know I'm a big Deadhead, and Terrapin Station is my favorite song, and I've seen it played so many times, And Big Mike, we saw 2 years ago down at Philly, and it was awesome. So I put that at number one, and I was like, hey, I just have to go a little more. And then I had to scratch that because I saw, I was at Nassau Coliseum for my Long Island friends when Live Without a Net was played, and Branford Marsalis came out and did The Eyes of the World. Mm. And it, like we all say, you know, we've seen so many great songs, but The great part about that is I was there live, and then when it came out on the CD, even before online music, I was like, oh, I was there. Yeah. Now, the funny part about Live Without a Net, it wasn't like one show. It was like over three shows. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's mine. It's of course, you knew it was going to be a dead show.
Yeah.
So next question. If you had any musical skills and could collaborate with any musician, dead or alive, who would it be and why? Big Mike, do you have anybody?
I mean, it's hard to say. I would have to embellish any musical skills I have, but one of my favorite musicians is Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Whoa.
And so, you know, I think it's comical for me to say that a lot of what I do on the guitar is modeled after him because he wouldn't listen to me play and say, you know, you're a lot like SRV. But to just play like, you know, the chords behind him while he was on stage to watch him that closely would just be like an amazing experience. Yeah.
Papa Gigs?
I kind of took this one and almost went Time Machine with it. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm not the biggest jazz guy, but I like jazz and I appreciate listening to it. So I'm going to go to with either like Miles Davis or Charlie Parker, one of those guys, and we're going to be in Paris at a jazz club. I'm going to be playing probably piano or stand-up bass, and I'm just going to be accompanying. Like, I'm not every now and then maybe I'll get a little solo, but I'm just kind of part of the band, and I have good skills, and I'm just with one of those guys and, with one of the great masters.
Very cool. Very cool. TD?
Yeah, so I have no musical skills, so this is total embellishment, but I really enjoyed thinking about this question.
Sure.
So I'm going to play percussion for David Byrne and Talking Heads.
Oh.
Because I just love so many layers in their songs, and I like their, I've talked about it before in here, I like the quirkiness.
Sure.
It's just right up my alley, so I would love to be the percussion guy in the back with all the cool toys, you know, playing.
You know, I'm gonna give you some kudos here because I think you as a drummer, like the show is over, everyone's you would just slowly put the drumsticks on the snare drum and just walk away.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like, you, me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely know my place in this David Byrne Talking Heads fantasy, and it's not up front.
Mikey D, what do you got?
I'm going to play xylophone with Frank Zappa and the the Mothers of Invention.
Yes. Oh.
Just because, you know, they don't have a large part in the music, but it's very distinct, and you hear it kind of hits you, you know, and kind of sneaks up on you.
I exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
I would love to grab an acoustic, an electric, and I don't want to take the piano or the organ, but I would get the guitar out, and then I would just love to sit next to Jim Morrison and just strum, lead, play, whatever, and he just would just recite his poetry. Next question, if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be? Mikey D, we're coming back to you.
Oh, man. Little Feet, Waiting for Columbus. Oh, I don't know.
What a killer album. Awesome.
Going with something.
I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah. Well, there's so many. I mean, it's hard to really pick. Yeah. But
that was awesome. That was great. TD?
I'm going to go U2 Octung Baby.
Oh.
Nice. I've actually picked that one in other settings for this exact thing. And it's an album that ever since I got it when it first was released in 1991, I would listen to it from start to finish. I can still get in the car and listen to it start to finish. If I don't know what to listen to, I'll just like, I'll default to that. Sure. And I never seem to get tired of it.
Yep.
Laura does. and she tells me that all the time, but I absolutely love it.
She works in mysterious ways.
Yes, exactly. It's a great album. So cool. It's like from start to finish, though. And I have a couple others like that, but it's probably the go-to. So
good. Papa Giggs?
I don't want to keep on talking about Octung Baby. No, but I love the songs at the end, too.
Yeah.
Until the end of the world. Anyway, it's maybe not my favorite album of all time, but if I'm going to stay with it, I'm going with Abbey Road with the Beatles.
Whoa.
Because it has a little bit of everything. You know, it has the variety of singers.
Sure.
It has the beautiful songs, you know, Because and Something. And it has, you know, Here Comes the Sun. But it has, like, that great medley in there. So it's just a fun album. I could spend a lot of time with.
Album. Big Mike?
I don't think I could go with a studio album. I think if it was only one album for the rest of my life, I think I'd have to go with a live album that was long, that involved long songs.
Sure.
That, like, I could kind of find the imperfections in, or like find new nuances that I didn't hear before, which is also possible with, I guess, a studio album, but it's easier with a live album because it's so loose.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe like some one of Dick's picks, or like 100 Years Hall, or Without a Net, or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they just go and go.
Yeah. I was going to choose a Dead album. And then I was like, I remember when my sister got Dire Straits' first album. It was incredible.
Is that Brothers in Arms?
No, it's just called Dire Straits.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Sultans of Swing, Wild West End, In the Gallery, Lions, Six Blade Knife, Down of the Waterline, Water of Love, Setting Me Up, and Southbound Again. Wow. Now listen, I'm sure after 3 months I'm going to be like, why didn't I pick another album? But I remember listening to that album over and over and over again. And then that just set up their whole career. You know, Communique came next, and then so on and so forth. All right, we're in Time Machine Heaven right now. Is that a good one for the time machine?
Sure.
Or this one?
Oh, that's better.
This is better?
Blasting off.
How about this one? I kind of like the time machine. Because the time machine is like, boom!
Yeah,
it's instant. Like less than a second, you're where you need to be. Oh, okay, I can't resist. Bing, bong, bing, boop, bing.
There we go. I was hoping you would do it.
Time machine question. Pick a musician and tell us what Christmas look. Now, okay, we're back to the Christmas episode that we didn't record. Tell us what Christmas location with a great Christmas tradition would you go to, and you pick one musician. I'm going first. I did a little research. I'm picking Jim Morrison in his good days, like
He had those?
About a year and a half before New Orleans, where he was still writing good poetry. And I would go to, in Finland, in the Lapland. It's called Rovaniemi. It offers spectacular displays of the northern lights. It's picturesque, and they say it's magical in the winter. Mikey D, what do you got?
I guess I'm going to be sitting on a couch with a pipe and a Yule log and listening to...
In a smoking jacket.
Yeah, smoking jacket. Listening to, I'm going with two artists instead of one musician.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll take that.
David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
Solid.
Awesome. Singing their classic Christmas tune. Always puts me in the mood.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
Especially the pipe. That helps. Yeah.
That's right. TD, what do you got?
I'm going to go to Jamaica with favorite son, Bob Marley.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to participate in the Jamaican pantomime, which is a Christmas Eve tradition that I've never participated in. I read about it on the internet this afternoon, though, and just checked my notes to make sure. And but basically, it's an homage to local Jamaican songs and cultural traditions, and everybody just hangs out on the beach and sings and, you know, cool vibes. And that would be pretty awesome with Bob Marley. Anything would be pretty awesome with Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Papa Gigs?
I'm not sure if I'm going to make it back from this festival, but Keith Moon and I are going to go to one of the Krampus festivals in Austria, probably in Innsbruck. But you guys know the Krampus, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the parade, the whole bit. And Keith Moon, he might be the Krampus, you know, by the time the night's over. But and I'm not sure we're going to make it back. I probably won't be having seltzer that night, but I'll let Keith Moon pick what we might have, and I hope I make it back.
Perfect, perfect. Big Mike, what do you got?
Well, this is tough. I don't know. Jessica, she last year she went big on this thing called Hygge, which is like the the Norwegian
Scandinavian
sort of art of making the cold weather like comforting and snuggy, you know.
Sure.
That's the official word, snuggy.
Snuggy luggity.
Anyway, that's two beers in. So, but I kind of think of that. So we would head up to Scandinavia and to some like little cafe, and I don't know. I was trying to think of someone who has like a warm, sort of, you know, voice. So I was thinking maybe Amos Lee.
Oh, nice.
Just kind of like a whispery type, you know, folksy acoustic performance there. It seemed to be good there in a coffee shop, yeah.
All right. That's excellent. We are done now with episode 48, but we are not ending with Matt Bolton. We are ending with a question about friends. How to make your friends. You know, at the party, remember I said, like, you make your friends, get along. Okay, last question of the night. Name the most annoying person of friends. We'll start with you, Mikey D.
Chandler Bing's girlfriend. What was her name? Janice?
Janice was annoying.
Right? Is that right, Janice? Yeah. She was pretty annoying.
TD?
I'm going to go with Phoebe. She always annoyed me. I should like her, but I don't.
I'm going with Ross, right? That was the name, David Schwimmer, right? Yeah, he was just whiny and annoying. Yeah.
Big Mike.
I'm also going to go with Ross. He's just kind of whiny. He always kind of like, just didn't.
Downer. He was a downer.
Yeah, he was. Kind of downer.
Wet blanket, yeah. Ross.
Yeah.
I wasn't too good friends with Joey. He's just a little too... He was just a little too...
Shallow?
And dumb.
Goofy.
Just thought... Listen, I don't mean to be mean, but it was a show. It wasn't real.
Right.
Right?
They made a lot of money on that show.
Yeah. He's okay if you call him dumb.
Yeah, I think he'll rub his worse.
Wipe his tears with his hundreds. Yeah.
All right. We are not ending our show without Matt Bolton. Come on. Matt is our sponsor.
Thank God.
And there we have it. All right. Around. We done episode 48. Let's say goodbye to the night. We'll start with Big Mike.
Good night, everyone.
Papa Gig says, hope you help your friends make more friends.
Nice.
Adios, amigos.
Good night, friends.
I love the friends.
Dude, the day that we get any paid sponsor is going to be a great day in history.
Totally.
Like, even if, like, one free beer at Yurgi's, why would we consider sponsorship?
They'll keep us going for another year.